Well, good morning, Sunnyside. It's great to be with you again today as we continue in our series on the waters, where for the past number of weeks, we have been journeying through different stories in Scripture where water has played a key role. And all the while, we have been trying to discover this foundational truth together that whatever the waters look like, God is already there. And each week, the waters have represented something different. With Noah, the waters rose around him, and we learned that obedience means building before the rain ever comes. With Moses and the Israelites, the waters blocked their way forward. And so God used the obstacle and created a pathway through it. Last week, with Jonah, the waters swallowed him, and we saw that even in the depths, God's grace can still reach us. But today, the waters are going to look different once again, because today, the waters are no longer rising around someone. They're not standing in someone's way. They're not even swallowing someone into the depths. Today, the waters are actually calling someone out. And honestly, I think this is probably one of the hardest types of water for us to face, because there's something deeply uncomfortable about stepping out into uncertainty. Most of us like stability and clear plans. How many of you would agree? Yeah, clear plans and stability sound great. We love knowing where things are going before we even take that first step. We want those guarantees, the certainty to know exactly where God's leading us before we say yes. However, faith rarely works that way. Sometimes Jesus simply says one word. He says, come. And often we don't fully realize how much we need him until we step into places where our own strength is no longer enough. And in those moments, we're left with a decision. Will we trust him enough to step out of what feels safe? And that's exactly where Peter finds himself in today's passage. So I want to paint the scene for a moment before we dive into it. Okay, it's the middle of the night. The disciples are out in a boat. The wind is strong. The waves are crashing against the side, maybe even splashing over the side. The storm is intensifying, and suddenly, through the rain and the darkness and the chaos, they see something. It looks like something. Actually, it turns out to be someone walking towards them on the water. And at first, they're pretty terrified. They think it's a ghost. And fear immediately takes over them. But then Jesus speaks to them in the storm and says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter responds to one of the boldest requests in all of Scripture. He says, Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus answers with one simple word. He says, come. And with that invitation, Peter steps into the impossible. But what makes this story so powerful is not simply that Peter steps out into the water. It's what Jesus does when Peter's faith begins to falter. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go and read the story in Matthew 14 again. It's quite a long story, but we are going to read all of it. It's in Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Starts like this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on that lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, as incredible as this story is, this passage is not ultimately about walking on water. It's about learning to trust Jesus in the places where our own strength is not enough. It's about what happens when Jesus calls us beyond comfort, beyond control and certainty. But even more than that, it's a story about faithfulness, the faithfulness of Jesus towards imperfect people whose faith sometimes trembles in the midst of the storm. So this morning, I want us to look at three truths from Peter's encounter on the water that speak directly to our lives today. If you have something to take notes, I encourage you to jot these down as we go. But number one is Jesus does not call us to safety. He calls us to himself. As we begin looking at this story, one detail immediately stands out. Peter is the only disciple who is willing to leave the boat. The other disciples were there. They saw Jesus too. They heard his voice. The others believed it was him too, but Peter is the only one willing to step over the edge and move toward Jesus personally. And see, I think that matters deeply because it reveals something important about the nature of faith. See, there is a difference between admiring Jesus from the boat and actually following him onto the water. See, the boat represented safety, its stability. It represented predictability or control. See, as dangerous as the storm around them was, at least that boat felt familiar. Peter understood boats as a fisherman. He understood storms and waves, but stepping out onto the water meant stepping into something completely beyond his ability to manage control of. And honestly, I think that's where many of us today can relate with Peter. Because most of us are comfortable following Jesus. Absolutely, we can agree. But we can agree that it's comfortable to follow Jesus as long as Jesus remains comfortable. We like it when faith fits neatly into our plans. We like obedience when it feels manageable. We like trust when the outcome seems predictable. But Jesus has a way of calling people beyond what feels safe. Sometimes he calls us beyond our comfort, beyond routine or self-sufficiency, beyond the illusion that we still have control of everything. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, that can be pretty terrifying. Because even unhealthy comfort can still feel safer than unfamiliar trust. The disciples may have been in the middle of a storm, but the boat gave them something to hold on to, something familiar, something stable beneath their feet. And many times we do this exact same thing spiritually. We cling to the things that make us feel secure. Sometimes that's routines or control, money, schedules, achievements, or even the need to have everything figured out before we move forward. But sometimes we stay in unhealthy patterns, unhealthy mindsets, or spiritually stagnant places because it simply feels familiar. Because here's the thing, familiar discomfort often feels safer to us than unfamiliar faith. But here Peter's teaching us something important, that Jesus never promised that following him would always feel comfortable. But he did promise this. He promised his presence. And that is what changes everything. He promised his presence. Because see, the goal of faith is not ultimate safety. The goal of faith is closeness to Christ. And Peter doesn't step out to the boat, into the water, and it suddenly looks safe. He steps out because Jesus is there, and this is such an important distinction. See, in that moment, Peter's confidence isn't in himself. It's not in his ability. It's not in the calmness of the storm. His confidence is in the one calling him forward. And if we're honest, I think this becomes one of the defining tensions in our Christian lives. Will we remain where things feel manageable and controllable? Or will we trust Jesus enough to follow him into places where we have to depend on him more deeply? Because there are going to be moments in life where Jesus calls us beyond what feels comfortable. Sometimes that's forgiving, even when bitterness feels safer. Or calling us to serve when staying comfortable in our seats would just be a whole lot easier. Sometimes he even calls us into leadership or ministry, generosity, vulnerability, or surrender before we ever feel prepared. And sometimes he calls us to let go of the very things that we have been using as security blankets because he wants us to learn to depend on him more fully. And see, often the greatest obstacle to deeper faith is not rebellion, it's comfort. Because comfort convinces us to stay where the things feel manageable. Comfort tells us don't risk too much. Stay where you can remain in control. But Jesus continually invites people beyond the shallow safety into deeper waters of trust. And this is what makes Peter's story here so powerful. Because the other disciples, they stayed dry in the boat. Peter, though, got wet. And he struggled. And he eventually sank for a moment. But Peter also experienced something that none of the other disciples got to experience. The sustaining presence of Jesus holding him up in the middle of the impossible. Maybe that's where some of us find ourselves today. We're not questioning whether Jesus is real or whether Jesus is calling. But instead, we're wrestling with whether we are willing to leave the places that feel comfortable and controllable. See, maybe Jesus is calling you today into something deeper, into a deeper trust with him, into greater obedience, or maybe even asking you to surrender something that you've been gripping tightly because it makes you feel secure. But fear keeps whispering, just stay in the boat. Stay where it feels manageable. Stay where you remain in control. Stay where you don't have to depend deeply on God. But Peter's story reminds us that sometimes the greatest experience of God's power happens only after we are willing to leave the place that feels the safest. Sometimes the greatest experiences of God's power happen only after we're willing to leave the places that feel safest. Because Jesus doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to himself. And wherever Jesus is, that is where real life is found. Our second truth this morning is that fear grows when we focus on the storm. See, for a few short, incredible moments, Peter actually does it. Can you imagine that? Peter climbs over the edge of the boat, his feet touch the water, and somehow, impossibly, he begins to walk on the water toward Jesus. The impossible is literally happening beneath his feet. But then Matthew tells us something that changes. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. See, in that one moment, Peter's focus shifts. He stops looking at Jesus and starts looking at the storm, the waves, the wind, the instability, the chaos around him. And the moment his attention shifts from Jesus to the storm, fear begins to pull him under. And honestly, this is where our story becomes painfully relatable for many of us. Because how often does that happen in our own lives? We begin with confidence. We step out trusting God. We believe he's calling us somewhere, but then the reality becomes difficult. The pressure increases. The uncertainty grows louder. The circumstances become harder than we expected. And suddenly, our eyes drift away from Jesus. And they become fixed on the storm around us. And then we begin asking ourselves questions like, what if this fails? What if I'm not enough? What if I made the wrong decision? What if God doesn't come through in the way that I want him to? And then fear begins to take over and grow rapidly. See, over the past few weeks, we've had this water tank here at the front, and we've watched it represent the different realities throughout our series. With Noah, we had a boat in here, and that represented the judgment and salvation. And with Moses, we had our little Moses figure, and he couldn't get through the water to the other side, and the water stood as a barrier. And with Jonah, the waters became chaotic and disruptive and murky. But today, the water represents something that many of us know all too well. It's the place where fear threatens to pull us under. This is Peter. I realized we couldn't use the Moses figure, the Noah figure, so this is Peter today, okay? Everyone, use your imaginations. This is Peter, okay? And for a moment, Peter is doing the impossible. He is walking on top of the water toward Jesus. He's experiencing something that he never thought possible because his eyes were fixed on that of Christ. However, the minute his eyes shift, fear starts to take over. And this happens. He suddenly begins to sink. Not because Jesus disappeared. Not because Jesus stopped caring. Not because he abandoned him. Peter is sinking because fear has become louder than faith. And isn't that what happens to us sometimes? We know deep down that Jesus is present. We know how he is faithful. We know how he's carried us through seasons and storms before. And yet the storm becomes so loud that it starts drowning out everything else. That diagnosis comes. The relationship falls apart. The finances get tight. The future feels uncertain. Those prayers continue to go unanswered. And before long, we are going under, like Peter. But here's what I love about this story. Peter does not sink in silence. As he begins to go under, he cries out, "Lord, save me." Maybe that's one of the most encouraging truths in this entire passage, is that Jesus was already standing close enough to Peter to hear that prayer. And when he cried out, "Lord, save me," Matthew states, immediately Jesus reached into the water and pulled him out. Immediately. Not eventually. Not before Peter proved himself. Not after he proved himself. Not after Peter got his act together. Not after Peter even swam halfway back towards the boat. Immediately. The moment Peter called out, Jesus responded. And that's the good news for each of us today. Because there are moments when faith feels strong. But there are also moments when all we can manage is a desperate prayer of, "Lord, save me." And the promise of the story is that Jesus is never far from those who call on his name. That's it. Peter's prayer was just, "Lord, save me." It wasn't a polished prayer, not some long speech, no impressive words, just pure desperation. Just honesty, dependence. Because in that moment, Peter finally realized something important, that he cannot hold himself up on his own. This is where faith becomes real for many of us too. See, as long as we think we can manage everything ourselves, control everything ourselves, fix everything ourselves, we often keep Jesus at a distance. We exhaust ourselves trying to stay above the waves in our own strength. But sometimes faith looks like finally admitting, "I can't do this on my own anymore." And the beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus was already there. Peter didn't have to swim back to the boat first. He did not have to earn rescue. He didn't even have to prove himself worthy. The moment Peter cries out, Jesus immediately reaches down and grabs him. I so desperately want us to hear this today, that your moments of fear do not disqualify you from God's grace. Your moments of fear do not disqualify you from God's grace. And Jesus is never distant from those who call on him. See, even faithful people struggle sometimes. You can see it throughout Scripture. Even mature believers have moments where fear overwhelms their faith. Even people who have been sincerely following Jesus for decades can lose focus in the middle of the storm. But when Peter cries out, Jesus is already reaching toward him. Maybe you need that reminder today. Because maybe you feel like fear has made you a failure spiritually. Maybe you feel ashamed that your faith feels weak right now. Maybe you feel like you should be handling things better than you are. But Peter's story reminds us Jesus does not abandon people when they struggle. See, even when fear overwhelms you, when your faith feels weak, even when you feel like you're sinking, he's already there, close enough to reach you. See, the goal of faith is not pretending that the storm is not real. The goal is learning where to look while the storm is raging. And our third and final truth this morning is that God's grace forms us through failure. See, as Jesus reaches down and pulls Peter from the water, he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I think it's really easy for us to read these words as frustration or disappointment. But honestly, I don't think that this moment was harsh at all. Because remember, Jesus is holding Peter when he says this. And that matters deeply. See, Jesus isn't standing at a distance yelling these things at Peter. He reaches into the water first. He saves him first. And then while holding him securely, he begins to teach him. And I think that reveals something incredibly important about the heart of God. Jesus does not use failure to push people away from him. He uses failure to form them. Because this moment in Scripture was never just about Peter sinking. It was about Peter learning. Learning what faith looked like in weakness. Learning what dependence looks like in fear. Learning that following Jesus does not mean never struggling. It means discovering who holds you when you do. And honestly, that should deeply encourage us today. Because I think many of us are quietly carrying the fear that our failures disqualify us from being used by God. We think, well, I should be further along by now, or I should trust God more by now. I shouldn't still struggle with this, or I should not still battle fear or doubt or insecurity or weakness. But Peter's story reminds us that spiritual maturity is not formed by never failing. It's formed by continually learning to reach for Jesus even in the middle of our failing. Because notice something important here. Peter may have doubted for a moment, but he still knew where to turn when he began sinking. He said, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached for him. That is grace. Not grace that waits for perfection. Not grace that demands flawless faith. Not grace that says try harder next time. But grace that meets us in the weakness and continues forming us through it. And this connects deeply to how we understand grace as a Wesleyan church. We believe that grace is not only a pardon for sin, but it is a power for transformation. God's grace does not simply forgive us and leave us unchanged. It continues to shape us, strengthen us, correct us, and form us into the likeness of Christ over time. And that means that even in the moments of weakness, they can become moments of formation in God's hands. See, even Peter sinking becomes part of Peter becoming. And honestly, when you look at the life of Peter after this moment, that becomes incredibly clear. Peter is still impulsive at times. He still struggles. He fails again when he denies Jesus three times, and yet Jesus continues pursuing him, restoring him, shaping him, and eventually empowering him into one of the foundational leaders of the early church. Why? Because Jesus was never looking for perfection. He was forming faithfulness. Maybe that's what we need to hear today. See, your struggle is not the end of your story. Your weakness is not the end of your story. Your doubts are not the end of your story. Your failure is not the end of your story. Because Jesus is still forming people in the middle of imperfect faith. One of the things I love about this story the most is that Peter walked away from this encounter knowing something that the other disciples never got to know. What it felt like to be upheld by the hand of Jesus in the middle of failure. Sometimes that becomes one of the deepest places of spiritual growth in our lives today. Not when everything is going perfect. Not when faith feels effortless. But when we discover that even in our weakness, Jesus is still faithful to hold on to us. Because Jesus never calls us onto the waters to shame us. He calls us there so we discover that his grace is strong enough to sustain us, shape us, and continue forming us even when our faith feels fragile. So as we step back and look at Peter's story, once again we see the character of God revealed in the waters. He's the God who calls, the God who sustains, the God who reaches, and the God who empowers. And whatever the waters look like, God is already there. Before Peter ever stepped out of the boat, Jesus was already standing on the water. Before Peter even began to sink, Jesus was already close enough to reach him. And before Peter ever cried out for help, Jesus knew exactly what Peter was going to need in that moment. Same is true for us today. Before you ever arrived at whatever waters you're facing right now, Jesus was already there too. And maybe today Jesus is calling you into deeper trust, inviting you to loosen your grip on something that's become a source of comfort, control, or security. And maybe fear has caused you to lose focus and to let it drift from Christ to the storm around you. Maybe you feel like you're doing your best just to stay afloat, but hear this clearly today. When you step, he sustains. When you call, he answers. And when you sink, he saves. And when your faith feels weak, his grace remains strong enough to hold you up. Because the invitation that Jesus gave to Peter is still the invitation he gives to us today. And that's come. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God who calls us out of our comfort zones, out into deeper trust and deeper faith in you. And we pray that you would give us the courage to step out, to follow you into the uncertainty. We've seen countless times in our lives where you have carried us through. Would you remind us of that when fear tries to tell us that we're not going to make it, that we're not going to get through, that we're not enough? In those moments, would you remind us that we don't have to be enough because you are enough, and that you are standing there with your hand out, ready to catch us, because you are a God who saves and a God who responds when his people call out. Amen.